All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the What Podcast. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous March day.
Spring is here, man.
Spring is here. Brian, I thought of you yesterday. My five-year-old granddaughter. It was opening day at Middle Valley for T-ball.
All right.
The Pirates. I'd like to say they crushed the Cubs, but we don't keep score.
So you're not going to get on social and tell everybody that they're champions of the world? Like every one of my friends, all their kids win all the championships. This has gone beyond participation trophies. It's participation championship trophies. Like, who is losing all these games if all my friends' kids win them all?
It was so much fun. It was everything you would expect because it was 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old.
Well, that's a whole different world than what I'm talking about.
It was so good. You had kids running the wrong way, dropping their gloves, falling down, crying.
This is where when you throw me in an element like that, I'd be so mad. Get up! What are you doing out there, man? Throw it to second!
I'm glad you said that because I walked all over that ballpark, and I don't know what they're doing out there at Middle Valley, but their parents were great. There was none of that.
Really?
None of it. No, it was awesome. Everybody was clapping for both teams, and
maybe
all ages. It was great.
Maybe this, the farm bill from 2018 and the derivatives of THC products are getting to the parents, and it's chilling them out. Maybe that's what it is.
So much fun. In fact, one of the parents told me that the day before the 5 or 6 years old had a game, and the coach told the catcher, run to third. You know what he did? He went to first, and then to second,
and then to third. Hey, that's how he remembered being told is how you get. You're not born on third, kid. You're not born on third.
It was so much fun. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about EDM. And as promised, we put together a panel. We've got Kyle, Christian, Matthew, and Tyrone, who agreed to get up on this Sunday to talk to us about EDM. And guys, I don't know what your takeaway was. For me, it was one of the last questions we asked, which was, of all the acts, what percentage do you think you will see that will have electronic dance music involved? And all four of them said 50-50.
Yeah.
Did that surprise you?
A little, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say, because it's just such a strong brand loyalty, but it also shows that there is also a lot of musical diversity in this fan base. And I guess when you really think about it, there has to be. Yeah. There's so many different versions of this stuff that you have to be genre diverse, or it wouldn't be possible for you to like it. For all the reasons that you might want to come up with that you don't like it, could be the same reasons why you do.
Yeah, and it surprised me because I don't know what I would have predicted. I think maybe one of them might have said, I would have guessed 80-20, like that's the only reason I'm going type of thing. But what it said to me, and kind of to put a finer point on what you just said, and we've talked about this, we started this podcast because we love Bonnaroo, and a big part of what we've talked about over the years is how it adapts, how it reads the market and has changed, right? Started as a jam band festival because they knew the Fish fans would camp. They knew they had to get an audience that would sleep in a bag in the middle of a
field. It wasn't a tough sell to them. But to the general public, especially coming off of a couple of decades of this just being a general failure, the massive festival in the United States of America was a general failure for a couple of decades. So, yeah, they did what it seems now is simple idea to make. But we're going to focus on that. And then that only got a shelf life for a little while. And then they've adapted every 5 years. The place looks different.
Correct. They've added trees. They've added grass. They've, and you know, changed
visuals.
Added a lot of VIP, you know, which was a pissed a lot of people off early on. You know, you're selling out. Or where's the hippie fest? You know, why we got RVs? You know, type of thing.
Yeah.
Point being, they've adapted the market. They know, you know, they got to get people in there. And as we've gotten older, I don't want to sleep on the dirt anymore. You know, I want a flushable toilet. I want a shower. I want this and that. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest changes they did, and the point that I'm trying to make is, what, 2017, 2018, we decided they converted the other tent to just the other stage and dedicated it to electronic dance music, EDM, which at that time was just basically what I would call bass, you know, the doom stuff. Really, really loud. And Brian, I know our camp mate, Mike Dewar, nut butter mate, he was like, what the, why are they doing this? And I know we probably had discussions about it too. They're probably giving an entire tent to this horrible music that we don't like. I liked it. You guys didn't like it as much.
Yeah.
I'm good with it for a little bit. But what a smart move, right? Mm-hmm. What a smart move that was.
Well, they saw the trends, and that's goes to what we were just talking about, how they see them early. And it was very obvious to anybody who wanted to pay attention, which I wasn't one. I didn't want to pay attention.
Right.
But if you wanted to, it was very obvious that this is where this the popular music was trending, and you better start dedicating it to it, or the rite of passage, the youth movement that makes this festival, makes this engine turn, you better excite them. And they have, and even on what, and when I say they, the general EDM fans tend, I'm hearing this is not a stacked year for EDM music. I'm hearing that, even though Pretty Lights is getting this legendary, what, you know, or at least history, Bonnaroo history making headline Thursday set. Even with that, it still feels like it's not like heavy, but they still can't wait. So
isn't that funny? Within the EDM fandom, there are cliques. If it's too much house, I'm not in. If there's not enough bass, I'm not in, you know? So in our minds, right, it's just one thing. It's all
which is silly and it foolish. But I agree with you. I'm the same way. I still am the same way. But if you really want to think about it, all genres of music since the beginning of recorded music has all those layers.
Sure.
And for some reason, I'll speak for me. I didn't want to give it the credit that it would have that kind of legacy potential of building. And we use the jam band community a lot for all the obvious reasons, but same kind of thing. Humphries McGee and Mo. To the people who don't know anything about those two bands, they're going to be like, yeah, they're the same band.
Right.
No, they're not. Right. No, they're not. No. And you could interchange one or two of their songs and be like, yeah, that sounds similar.
Yeah.
But no. These are in two different orbits, and that's what I'm learning
saying
more and more
rock.
About this.
I mean, there's hair metal, and there's the Stones. You know,
there's Southern rock, alt country, pop country, rock country, Jason Isbell, Drive By Truckers, Jason Aldean, you know, and it's interesting to learn more about, for sure. I don't know if it's ever gonna make me like it anymore and be immersed in it, but I've been saying it over and over. I can't wait for Pretty Lights on Thursday. I really can't. It's
yeah,
gonna be a big
no,
time.
I think there's stuff that you like. Go ahead, Rush. You were gonna say.
Well, just that talking about all those genres, EDM fans seem to be the most vocal when it comes to, you know, wanting to make sure that their most interested acts are booked or at least represented. You know, the most criticism we get on the show was, well, you don't have anybody that talks about EDM, and the people you do have, they didn't talk about my EDM, and you know, so right. there's the
oh well, you're gonna have
panel.
Your snobs in every one of these,
yeah,
but
sure.
They are a very vocal
yeah
bunch. They're probably more vocal and opinionated than some other genre.
Well, and they're younger, and you get a lot of that, and that's understandable and completely tolerable if nothing else. It all comes with it, and it all adds to the magical, mystical kind of nature of it.
I agree. I like it. And again, I want to thank Daniel, who was our guest last week, for putting together a list. I spent all morning listening to it, and you know, just a couple of notes. It's funny when you listen to this music. You can hear a song, a sample with New Order, Gautier, and Kiss. I mean, who's sampling Kiss?
Who's sampling New Order?
I know. And then that, well, it's funny you say that, because like the Kiss thing, I was like, you know, they made Kiss sound good finally.
yeah.
And don't touch New Order. You know, the music snob in me is like, who the hell is messing with New Order?
Yeah, who do you think you are?
I'm glad I'm glad we can agree on the nonsense that is Kiss. But
And I was a huge fan. Anyway, that's another story. So one of the things that struck me from our conversation was that 50-50. We asked the four guys, how much EDM music do they think they will listen to during this festival, during this Bonnaroo in June? And all four of them said about 50-50.
Yeah, because you know there's people out there that will go and park right in front of the other stage and just stay there the whole time. They don't care what's happening at the What or the Witch or anything. They're there for EDM, and that's their entire festival. So
their money spends the exact same as mine does. So Bonnaroo wants that as much as it's an interesting dynamic for sure.
That's why I say how smart those guys were for seeing it and doing it. Hey guys, especially you, Russ, I know you're excited. We've got an event coming up with a friend of the show, Flip Turn,
Flip Turn we've had on the show. They've played at Bonnaroo. They've played at our Moon River Festival, and they're coming back to Chattanooga April 3rd. They're going to play at the Signal. The Signal has moved to a new venue. Have you been yet? I haven't been to the new spot.
I've been in there. It's nice.
Okay.
I've been one time, and it was pretty impressive. Pretty good stuff over there on the Choo Choo campus. And but one of the bands I learned the most from at Moon River here locally in Chattanooga was Flip Turn last year. So
yeah,
at the Signal should be a fun time.
Yep.
Cool band. Cool. They sat down with us. We got to hang out with them, and they're coming back to the Signal on April 3rd. And if you want to go, you should go, and you can see Russ.
Yeah, I'll be there.
He'll buy you a PBR.
Maybe not.
All right, go. He'll
give you a high five.
There you go.
So, all right, here we go. Here's our conversation with Kyle, Matthew, Christian, and Tyrone. It was a good conversation, and I want to thank them for giving up their time.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics that's gentle on my stomach and gives me smooth, steady energy. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
All right. So we're back on the What podcast. This is our EDM panel. We've been threatening to do this for quite a while. And thank you guys for getting up on a Sunday morning. I don't know about where you guys are, but it's a gorgeous Sunday morning in Chattanooga right now. It's stunning. But in any case, I'm down in the basement with you guys. We're going to talk about some electronic dance music. We're going to get some more tips, and I can already see Brian's head exploding. I'm Barry. That's Lord Taco. Brian Stone, as always. All right, so we've got Kyle, Christian, Matthew, and Tyrone. You guys agreed to be on this sort of impromptu panel, as we're calling it. My goal here, and Brian and Russ, you tell me if I'm wrong, is to kind of get out of the way. We've already admitted we're the old guys in the room. This is not our music. I think Russ, last week you nailed it with the iceberg analogy. We did learn and discover Thanks to Daniel for putting together his Spotify. I've spent all morning listening to his list, and I like a whole bunch of it, and some of it not so much, but that's okay. So again, the iceberg, EDM, for people who are just joining in, is we will admit, the three of us, that it's maybe not our jam, so to speak, but it is so big that Bonnaroo, the festival that we love and the reason that we're here, dedicated an entire stage to it. And when that's the thing that I probably want to say real quick, and then I'll quit talking so much. When I listen to the playlist, it makes sense why they would dedicate an entire stage at this festival, right? It's there's a lot going on. There's a lot to like. There's a lot of different sounds. And so with that said, let's introduce each other. Kyle, tell us who you are and where you're from and why you're here, I guess.
Well, man, I get to go first. All right.
Just because you're first on my screen.
There you go. That works. Thank y'all for having me back. You know, I was on here a couple of years ago talking this stuff with y'all. So it's cool to be back on here with the whole panel this time. This is awesome. This will be my ninth Bonnaroo, eighth Bonnaroo, something like that. You know, those 2 years that we missed gets kind of confusing. I'm down here in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a quick drive up to Manchester, and we're here to talk some EDM with you all. I'm stoked.
Christian, you're next on my screen.
Christian, first time on the What Podcast. Coming out of Chicago, Illinois right now. Not too bad of a drive, 8 hours down there. It's this could be my fourth year. Fell in love with the festival first time I went, and excited to talk with you guys about it.
All right, Tyrone.
Okay, this is my first time on the What Podcast. I'm an electronic music journalist, freelance journalist, and I run the music blog, The Daily Frequency. I started that in 2020, so I've been growing that ever since. And really excited to be here and just talk about EDM. Bonnaroo is my favorite music festival. Been going since 2017, but I missed a year in 2018 because all my friends wanted to go to Firefly, which was a mistake. But I'm happy to be here and happy to go this year again, so I'm ready.
All right, Matthew, tell us about you.
Matthew, also first time on the What Podcast, originally from Atlanta, Georgia, but now for the past 4 years in Nashville, so got the quick 1 hour drive down. Last year, actually, it was my first year ever attending Bonnaroo, though, but I've been attending dance music shows and festivals for over a decade at this point, so excited to get back to the farm, hopefully, this year.
All right, so Tyrone, let's start with you, because we were talking, you've been listening to this show since it started. We were kind of talking off air. You started tell us again.
Daily Frequency, EDM, right? Daily Frequency?
Called The Daily Frequency. It started off as a music blog focusing on everything, because when I went to Bonnaroo, I wanted to cover, you know, like, I have a wide range of music, but then I realized that you got to kind of niche down, and I was a big fan of electronic music, so I just started niching down to that, and then ever since I started niching down, I just focused on covering mostly like house and dubstep, and now it's been growing pretty big. I grew up to 18,000 followers this past year.
Nice.
And I'm working with a bunch of publicists from like Deadbeats and Wakan and a bunch of all these big labels that I can't even believe that they're reaching out to me to cover their artists, you know? So it's pretty crazy. It's been
I'm
quite the ride the past few years.
I'm taking a quick look at the site. I haven't even started with the socials. It looks good. Have you assembled somewhat of a network of a team that helps you cover this? As a one-man band, that's a tough thing to do.
Honestly, right now, it's a one-man band. Really? I have a few friends that will write an article here and there, but I'm trying to figure all that out. I designed the website. I do all the socials. It's pretty hard, but now that it's growing, I got to find a way to make a team.
Looks good,
you know?
Man. Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I wanted to start with you, because this is the thing about this festival is that there are so many things that have grown out of it, right? This podcast being one. The fact that people from Chicago and New Jersey and Atlanta and Nashville have this shared experience, so much so that you've created your own thing. But part of why I wanted to start with you is you kind of seen the evolution, I guess, of the other. So
for sure.
For people who, you know, talk about that, and then we'll talk to everybody else. How has it grown? How has it changed? Why did it even, I mean, Brian and I were there the first year. We've seen it go from jam band to, you know, whatever. And I can remember when they took the other and made it into an EDM, old guys like us were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But it was a smart move. It was a very, very smart.
So I think 2017 was the first year. My first year was 2017. I believe that was the first year they changed the other into an actual stage.
That sounds right.
If I'm not mistaken. And coming from, like, before I went to Bonnaroo, all the music festivals I went to was city, like EDM festivals. So it was like EZU, Ultra Music Festival, EDC. And they had a pretty good lineup for what my taste was in 2017. So that's what drew me to go to Bonnaroo. And I mean, it blew my mind, just the a camping festival. Like, I never experienced a camping festival before. So to see my favorite EDM acts at a camping festival, it really was like big, mind blow kind of situation, if that makes sense. But I think that it fluctuates what they book every year. And I feel like when they do book bass artists, I feel like there's more, they sell more tickets. And, you know, like last year, they booked primarily bass artists, or at least some big bass artists, and they sold out. And then 2022, mostly house, didn't really sell out. Now 2024, kind of the same deal is going on right now. So I feel like that the Bonnaroo crowd more aligns with maybe bass. And that's just my opinion. I could be completely wrong with that, but that's how I see it as a fan right now.
Kyle, you've been to several. Jump in. What are your thoughts on the evolution and how things have changed?
Where in the Woods is amazing. Like, that is one of the best things we've done. You know, making the other into, I remember going to the other tent back in the day, and I remember seeing Drum, the rapper, the first year that the other turned into a stage. And like, that's when it was still like kind of hip hop and EDM on the other stage. But then putting Where in the Woods out there and turning it into, you know, different types of stage builds. And, you know, now we're having takeovers, like the Chase and Status takeover out there. And, you know, that's, they're going in the right direction with that. And you guys talked about takeovers on the last EDM podcast. And it's such a good idea. It brings a lot of people who are, you know, if you're a fan of one artist from that one label, you're probably still going to go because those other artists are similar. My dream is to have a Deep, Dark, and Dangerous takeover on Bonnaroo someday. Like, we need it. We've had a couple artists that were kind of close that have snuck in, but we need the whole gang there. You know, they've got so many artists to pick from. No, but watching the evolution of Bonnaroo has been amazing. I mean, I remember when we got the flushable toilets. Like, that was a
big
awesome
day. That was a big day for all of us.
I remember grass.
You know, and as much as people like hated Squarch, like, the Squarch was cool too. Like, the Squarch was, you know, it was ugly, but like, it was a change. And now we have the beautiful digital arts that we have now. So, you know, they're taking steps in the right direction. This is getting better and better and better every year, as you guys all know. So,
Christian and Matthew, I'm going to ask you both, what drew you to Bonnaroo? Matthew, you're close enough. You're like us. It's, you know, it's close. So I'll start with you. What drew you and what brings you back?
Yeah, so honestly, it was always kind of in my sphere. Even growing up in Atlanta, it was kind of that first camping festival a lot of kids in high school went to. But I ended up going to college in the Midwest, so ended up going to a lot of my first festivals out there. And like I said, most of my festivals I initially went to were dance music specific. So I'd never really been to a big camping multi-genre festival. So it was honestly that to experience it. It was almost, I went for things other than EDM last year, even though they did have a really good bass lineup, like has already been mentioned. So for me, it was honestly, like I said, to experience something different. The price initially kind of scared me away because it was definitely more than a lot of the dance music festivals I go to. But I think the experience definitely made up for that. And that's why I would consider going again this year, even with a less than stellar lineup for what I listen to.
All right, Christian, you coming from Chicago. You've got lots of music. You've got a lot of options. Why take make an 8-hour drive to middle of Tennessee to a farm?
Well, Bonnaroo was my first music festival. I went there with a couple friends, and I listened to a couple of the stuff. You know, I was big on Childish Gambino in 2019. That was my first year. Solange, you know, Kayflay, nice little variety there. And it was actually my first time seeing EDM music was at Bonnaroo. I walked into like Space Jesus back-to-back EEPROM, like RL Grime, Odessa. I mean, the 2023 performance from them was possibly one of the best things I've ever seen. So it's just been incredible to see how that growth has just been taking over like more and more every year. And it's really incredible to see that this year, the lineup, there's a lot of great names. Pretty Lights is going to be an incredible show for Thursday. Their Saturday into Sunday morning is going to be incredible. Similar to what Tyrone was saying, it's a little bit more house heavy this year with, you know, with Fisher, with names like Disco Lines, it's Murph. It'll be nice to see those up and coming. I wish that they had a little bit more bass this year. I'm glad that they had like nice additions and We're in the Woods. Like what Kyle was saying, Chase and Status is going to be, that's an insane get for Wednesday. Excited to see who the surprise Sunday headliner is going to be as well. That's leaving a little room for mystery there. But yeah, I'm excited to come back for my fourth year.
Well, let me jump in on that real quick, because a couple of you have all mentioned kind of the same thing. There's more or less house, more or less bass, the subgenres of of electronic dance music. And I have trouble enough wrapping my head around just the genre as a whole. But how much, and Tyrone, we'll start with you. How much, as far as from just a generalized fan base, is the brand loyalty to these subgenres, like house to bass? And I can't remember that we talked about this with Daniel the other week, and I can't remember all of them. Do you find, because you used to be, I think Tyrone, you mentioned specifically because of one or the other you saw or yourself was more inclined to go. Do you find that loyalty to that subgenre there as much as just, or the umbrella of it all, or just speak to that if you would?
Well, I think that, like in the last episode, Daniel was talking about how maybe house is more like aligned with like pop and hip hop, and bass music is more aligned with, you know, like jam. And I think that while some fans probably will branch out and they'll go see a house show here and there if you love bass, but like you still want to be around the bass. It's like a completely different experience, in my opinion. I see house as something like, it's a party. House is a party. It's a good time. Like you can hang out with your friends, you're dancing, you're getting drinks, you're moving around. And
it's something you can kind of come in and out of, maybe not something you have to focus on as much, because
it's a bit more casual.
Yeah, exactly. And bass is kind of like, to me, it's like an experience. It's like a rock show. It's like you want to be there from the beginning to the end, like especially
see where
like
it goes, artists, see like how it evolves over the course of a show.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a journey into, well, I mean, house is a journey too, but it's different kind of experience, in my opinion.
I think these are really good topics, because they are different. The bass for people, bass is the one that just grabs you by the chest, right, and makes you feel like you're cavity is going to explode.
Yeah, melts your face.
And you know, you're thinking lights and you're thinking the bass drops and all that. That's what I like. I like that a lot. House is more, to me, would that be a girl talk type? Does that qualify? No. Where I was going with that is house to me is kind of like, for me, it's listening to see if I recognize the where they pulled from,
where the sample might come from. And I was thinking the same thing, Barry. Is it fair to say Pretty Lights is house?
I would say Pretty Lights definitely lines more with bass, if you're gonna
really
experimental. Wow, okay. Experimental bass, electro soul.
Electro soul. Okay, we got a whole new category now.
Yeah,
I'm taking notes, man. I'm taking notes.
Add it to the list.
So
the iceberg just keeps
Daniel
getting bigger
last
and bigger.
Yeah, like Daniel gave you guys the Philos playlist. I would say like Philos kind of is electro soul in a sense, like that kind of vibe. You know, like hip hop. Like
that's one of like the record like takeover samples type of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say that you know, probably the biggest name for house this year is going to be Fisher. I think he's been everywhere with his under construction from Chris Lake. It just got canceled this past weekend at Ultra because of a rainstorm. But they've been popping up everywhere. They had a whole Hollywood Boulevard shut down. They basically like closed out a stage of Coachella. I think house music is really getting more popular than ever. And Fisher is a prime example of that. I think his Thursday set is going to be an incredible, just great time for, even if you're not into EDM, I think you're going to be able to see the energy from just everyone there and kind of understand its appeal.
Speaking of that Fisher, sorry, Barry, is that another thing that's different about the Thursday lineup this year, with the Pretty Lights headlining main stage set, which I'm super excited about because I love the What stage. But Fisher is also right there at the top. So if Pretty Lights weren't there, that would probably be a pretty big draw is what I'm hearing.
Oh, for sure.
All right, do this for me. So we have the link to Daniel's playlist on Spotify, and thanks again to him for doing that because it's a lot of work and it's great. Let's go real quick. Pretty Lights, what type? What type of music? You just said it's bass.
I would say bass, jam, electro soul. He kind of does like everything, hip hop, trip hop.
Fisher.
Glitch.
I'm going down the list.
Fisher. House, tech house.
Disco
lines.
House.
House.
Very similar, yeah.
Oliver Heldens.
House.
Very techno-y.
Seven Lions.
Techno house. Trance. Yep. Seven Lions is, he's like a millennium, like a future bass.
Yeah.
Kind of guy.
Melodic bass,
Melodic bass.
Dr. Fresh.
House.
Bass house.
That's going to be a good show.
He's a heavier kind of house, though, so he'll incorporate a lot of dubstep elements into his music. Yeah. So he'll be in the heavier side of house, and he might even play some drum and bass and some dubstep as well. So
Shy FX.
He'll be a fun set.
Drum and bass.
Hamdi.
Dubstep.
Dubstep.
White Fang.
UK grime.
Dubstep.
I think
pretty experimental, too.
I was gonna say maybe even a little techno. I'm pretty sure because it's Alice in Wonderland's. It's techno. Yeah, Alice in Wonderland's.
She's like a
alter ego,
bass trap artist.
She
played in 2018 too.
The word techno has changed over the last 25 years. I think is fair to say. That's an older term. So I hear that, and I even don't know what that means anymore. I'm interested to find out. That's what we do here every week. And
it used to be like Kraftwerk, right?
Yeah.
Techno going back to my day. So Fred again, the big unknown that everybody's talking about. How would we describe that one?
That's a
I don't
tough
even
one.
Know how you describe that. Yeah. I don't even know how you describe that.
Electronic, just because he plays some house,
it's really emotional, kind of future aspects as well.
Yeah, and actually let's stick on that for just a second because we talked about this a little bit the other week, and Kyle, start there because you started with it. Fred again, talk to us about that. You said the live performance is I believe what I heard you just say. Go expand on that, Kyle.
Well, he also his sets, he's doing a lot of this stuff live. Like he's got his samplers out there. He's out there smashing the buttons. Nothing's really pre-recorded. You might play a song, but he'll do something over top of it at the same time. I'm just going off of what I've seen on YouTube. I've yet to see him live. I'm so excited to see him.
It's a fair enough barometer. So the name hit I had trouble with this being a headliner at first. The more I've talked to people, the less I have trouble with it. But this seems to be a pretty big deal for really the whole country from the festival scene. Anybody who wants to take that and talk about it at all.
Yeah, I think that they're really looking forward into the future with this booking. I was surprised that he's number one, but I mean, I saw him at Lollapalooza last year. He closed out as one of the three main headliners for Coachella, and every single show that I've seen, like on Ticketmaster, on any sort of resale, they're going for like hundreds, if not like $1,000 for a ticket. His pull has never been as big as he is now. And I think like looking back in a couple of years, especially looking back after this Sunday night headline, a lot of people who had doubts are really going to like feel comfortable with what
happened. I believe that. Yeah, the more I hear about that, I absolutely think I believe that. And many times the Sunday night has been reserved for kind of the slower
legacy rock act,
slow it down. We're just kind of winding things down. We're pulling up the cords. Everybody, y'all done yet over there? This is a whole different thing, right? Like, I mean, there's Bonnaroo doesn't, once you're there, they don't really care if you leave. They want you to stay. They don't care if you leave. Either way, they're going to make some money. They already got your ticket money. So they're not, the organization is not that worried about that, but sometimes the artist might be. I mean, sometimes Sunday, that place can be a third of everybody's long gone. By the time Sunday evening tonight rolls around, half of everybody could be gone. Still doesn't really feel like it, but they are. Feels like this might be a little bit different.
Yeah, I would highly encourage people to stay. I think you're going to be, you know, with like the emotion in his music, I think you're going to be hugging your best friends. I think you're going to be laughing, crying, dancing. Like, it's really going to be an incredible show. I'm excited to see what he's going to pull out for his only North American like tour festival headline this year. I think it's going to be really good, and I would highly encourage people to stick around.
I know the Bonnaroo people are very, very excited about it. How much does the EDM lineup impact your ticket buying? And I'm asking that because it's really, you know, we talk about lineups a lot, and we talk about headliners and we talk about undercard, but EDM, again, is its own creature, right? I mean, it really is almost like a festival within a festival. Or it seems to me that it's become that,
especially
way.
With Woods inclusion.
Where the Woods, yeah. Absolutely. Am I right in that interpretation?
Yeah, and like I said, I might be the weird one on here. Where with Bonnaroo specifically, it doesn't as much affect my buying because I am treating it differently as a multi-genre festival. It definitely helps. Like last year, I was super excited for that Thursday lineup. That was like a justification for a huge part of the price for me, and then everything else was just extra on top of it. But this year, if I do end up going, it's not going to be a huge impact because there's not a lot of artists on there that either I haven't seen or that would be a draw to me on their own on the dance music side, besides the Pretty Lights, which I did luckily get to see for the Three Night Caverns run, and a couple of the smaller artists like Hamdi and Liney.
Well, to that point, we talk about it since I've been around on the show regularly, and then for years, people are probably tired of hearing it. We don't really care who's on the lineup. We really don't. I guess it kind of goes back to what I was talking about before. Do EDM fans, do you think that these ticket prices can scare them off, or have they, as Bonnaroo, dedicated enough time? Because you're not necessarily going to get a great lineup every year, but because they've dedicated the stage and dedicated a portion of this festival, do you feel like that impact is hitting where Bonnaroo is hoping that it's hitting?
I think it really goes back to the subgenre conversation that you were having before and where you kind of fall in that, to me at least. I think y'all were hitting it on the nail on the head with certain subgenres of dance music being aligned to certain genres outside of it. Like, for example, with myself, I, as a primarily bass fan, would be a lot of times more likely to go over to a jam show or a hip hop show than stay at the other for a house show. So it's not like I'm just going to park at the other because it's EDM. I'm more likely to go to other genres that I feel like are more in line with my scene.
Oh yeah, because I was just gonna say, I feel like other festivals it may matter more, but I don't know, there's something about Bonnaroo that you don't want to miss, as you guys say. It's never not great. So even if this is a lineup that doesn't really align with you, you're still gonna have like a great time. And I think once you go to Bonnaroo for the first time and then you realize like the type of festival it is, like you're gonna, regardless of the lineup, you're going to be gravitated to go.
Well, it's pretty cool that is translating into this new, and I still consider 2017's now kind of a little while ago, but not that far back. It's pretty cool that this is still filtering in the same way that, oh, well, my favorite band didn't make it, so I'm not going. I mean, the never not great thing. I mean, the quote will live and die with this show for eternity. Cause it's
our friend Ken Weinstein.
It's totally true. And it goes, whether you're talking about rock and roll or R&B or anything, they don't all sound the same. And this is the same kind of thing. So it's cool to hear that's translating well, because I think that's the goal. And I think they do it well. no real question there, just a commentary.
All right, so we have also talked about on here, and Brad, former co-host, you know, co-founder of this show, we always talked about when you hear certain music, a certain band, in your head, it immediately takes you to the middle of either the Witch Field or the What Field, and you just know, right? You can picture that band on the farm at a certain time of day. It could be 2 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon. Brian, you've talked about that a bunch. There's nothing better than a, you know, 4 in the afternoon show on the What when it sounds great and it's the right band. In my head, EDM has to be listened to at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's it. There's no others.
That's surely not fair, but that's what I think
too. It's not fair.
That's what I think
too. It's not fair, but that's me.
Yeah.
So who are you listening to on the other at 2 in the afternoon or 4 in the afternoon EDM? I mean,
you know, house music.
House. Yeah.
It should be house music.
Yeah. Swaying. It's in the field.
It's Murph, Vandalux, Disco Line, something lighter, something not crazy. I'm curious to see how it's going to play out on Friday, because there is a lot of bass on Friday, like all day with Lonnie, with Hamdi, Dr. Fresh. It'll be ISO.
That's what I'm worried about, though, because even in 2022, there were some good bass artists like on a Sunday, and they put like Raven Schoon at 3 p.m. And, you know, it's way too hot for heavy bass at 3 p.m. on a Sunday at Bonnaroo. Yeah. And,
all day on Sunday. Yeah. I was covered in dust. Like, I couldn't walk. Like, it was a great day, though.
Kyle, we're happy.
It was a great day.
We're happy you made it through that and you're still here with us today, because that sounds dangerous.
It was a blast. I ran out of water halfway through it. I was like, all right, we're just going to keep going until I can't take it anymore.
Good for you, man. That's cool.
And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That's cool.
So exactly. Along those lines, too, I mean, is it an all day? I mean, I think, Matthew, you said it's the multi. You like all the different things. Are all of you guys, you're not just parked at the other for all days, right? Do you know anybody that does? I mean, and that's a stupid old man question. But
I know a couple.
Really? One stage the whole time.
I mean, they do have really great acts. Like, the undercard is pretty strong. And there are some really great shows that are going to be had. Casablanca, Noctu, like, these are going to be some really good daytime shows. I like a little bit more variety. So I'll be, you know, hopping from tents and stages. But I always find my way to the other, like, at the end of the day.
Wow. So if I had to curate my schedule and I'm going to be in the other all day waiting for that 2 a.m. bass drop, that's a long day, right? I mean, that's true of any of the stages, but that's a long day.
I mean,
at least
you're not walking a lot. You're not walking around the center room a lot, so you're saving energy that way.
That's a fair point.
Well, the day has been hard. Like, my knees were giving out about walk back to camp on Sunday. I was having to hold on to people's shoulders. Like, it was bad.
That's what I'm imagining. That's a lot of swaying. All right, so let's go around each of you. We've kind of mentioned who are the don't miss. Who are the don't miss shows? And let's do it maybe this way. For Brian, if you guys were to tell Brian Stone or Russ, I mean, he's his typical loudmouth today. We can't hardly shut the guy up. Have you been over to the other? I mean, this isn't your kind of music either, is it, Russ? I'm not to put you on the spot, but
no.
Yeah. All right. So if you guys were going to convince Russ and Brian, you know, or not convince, but educate, who are the bands that you guys would, or the acts that you guys would say you need to go see? Don't miss this one.
We'll start with you, Tyrone.
Okay. So are we talking about just like that would be playing the other, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do other.
We're in the woods. Yeah. Well, you want to do the other first?
Let's start with the other and then we'll go to the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Good.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, definitely Pretty Lights. Like, I definitely would not miss Pretty Lights. That's going to be just even if you don't like electronic music, like you're going to find something. He's going to play some track that you knew from like the 70s mixed over something else. And it's going to be awesome. I would also say maybe like a Disco Lines, you know, it's just a fun party, you know, like you're just gonna, you know, he's gonna play some good music and it's gonna be, you know, upbeat and you're gonna want to dance to it. I'm trying to think of stuff that's not like too
Christian
crazy,
what do you got you for wanna, us?
Like definitely not Set in Death.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Beth, come on.
Yeah, Pretty Lights for sure. I would say go to Fisher if you just want to see like peak dance house music. It is without a doubt going to be a party, and I think that anyone who is in the vicinity is probably going to be drawn into not only the music but the energy of everyone there. Like every single Fisher set I've seen online, I just recently saw him at Decadence. His crowd control is unbelievable. I would highly recommend Dr. Fresh as well. That's Dr. something Fresh that's going to be like a little bit more grimy, like a little darker, something like you were saying, Barry, like it's gonna have just like a little bit more grit to it, and I think he is an act that's gonna be incredible. And then I'd say my last one would probably be Knock Two. His similar to Fisher, it's a little bit more bassy and like 2015 like festival trappy, but his energy and his like grab on the audience is gonna be like extremely palpable.
Kyle, what do you got?
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm not going to baby you into this.
Sure.
There we go.
Right, we're going to go big. I want you to hear those chain scratching, that rhythm sound, that screeps. Like, oh, it's going to kill you. I know we're not doing the woods yet, but Sudden Death also has a house act happening out in the woods. If you haven't heard it, go on SoundCloud. It's amazing. Dead Room. Whitey and Hamdi. I mean, it's that deep bass, you know, going to get you moving. You're not going to be able to not move type thing. Like, it's going to grab you and it's going to shake you. You know, Fisher, Dr. Fresh, of course, those are great. Shy FX for some drum and bass. You know, we finally have some good drum and bass on the farm. Thank you, whoever playing that out for us. We needed that. Yeah, man. Sudden Death. Just get in there. Just let it grip you. And if you don't like it, you can walk away. But you're going
to
have that.
Somebody expand on the Sudden Death thing. Why should I be scared to death of this all of a sudden?
Your chest is going to explode. Right,
Sudden Death is one of the darker. So he has his own festival that happens at the Caverns. He's had it for a couple of years now. It's called Void, or that's his set called Void. He comes out in the, if he does the Void set, he's got antlers and like
it's very
a
metal
skull, very very metal, very dark, very just okay. just evil. You know, some evil stuff. For it's so great.
I know I've told this story. I was at camp, probably 10 or 11. And Bass Nectar started a 2 a.m. set, and I think I was asleep. Yeah, I know.
You were.
I love the music. You know, I was asleep.
You're going to have to cut all this out.
And all of a sudden, I wasn't asleep. But the guy camping next to me who had been out, he was on whatever medication that he was on, came running back on the phone talking to his girlfriend and said, I think this guy is trying to kill me. I think my heart is going to explode.
Oh my God.
And it was Bass Nectar and you could hear it all over the place. So,
Death is on the third line of Friday. Is it fair to guess that's going to be a late night Friday other probably? Is that kind of like the other for the, is that the big artist for Friday from EDM talking about from a macro look of as far as popularity, if for lack of a better way of putting it?
I probably think Seven Lines will probably close it out, but
yeah,
Sun Death. Oh, Seven Lines, there, I see that.
Right after, yeah, Sun Death will probably be right after Posty. That'll be an interesting genre switch, but
you think Seven Lines is going to be after Sudden Death?
He could be. Seven Lines is enormous. Plus, I've seen.
I just feel like the energy. It's going to be hard to go from Sudden Death into Seven Lines.
I think so as well.
I think if they did Seven Lines into Sudden Death, it'd be fucking.
You're good.
Yeah.
All right. Did we hit everybody with?
Yeah, Matthew. Yeah. What do you got? Don't you have? We didn't get to.
I am going to echo a bunch of the same thing. Pretty Lights sound like a broken record, but you talk about the In the Field vibes at 3 p.m. I know it's going to be a late show, but that's going to bring those vibes. Similar to if last year you went to the Grizz Chasing the Golden Hour set, that's probably as close as I think you would get to like a band chill, you know, 3 p.m. vibes. I'm also going to echo Kyle on Hamdi and Liney. Those are the two I'm most excited for. I'm definitely into that deep bass side of things. When we transition to the Where of the Woods, same thing, a lot of the chasing status take over, drum and bass and some heavy bass on that one as well. But the two that I haven't seen that I'd probably be most excited for are ISOXO and Noct 2. I'm coming up from Atlanta, was big into the trap scene when that was around, and excited to see people bringing that back now. Haven't seen either of them and what they're doing, but it looks huge from what I've seen at other festivals.
All right, we're going to do Where in the Woods, but while I'm thinking of it, what are your best tips? Kyle, especially, you're talking about your knees and dancing, and I mean, and it's no joke. What are the tips for first timer people that are coming? Because this kind of music, especially, it's a lot of dancing.
It's exhaustive. Moving around. It's an exhaustive experience. Yeah.
So what are your tips? Hydrate, right? Rest up.
Hydrate. Get some insoles for your shoes. You know, make sure that your shoes are broken in. Bring a couple different pairs of shoes because, you know, eventually you're going to want to probably switch them up to something a little bit more comfortable or around camp or something. Go hike right now. Start hiking right now. Like, you know, I average about 11, 12 miles a day. You know, I show up on Tuesday, leave Monday. And, you know, it's no joke. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, that heat also gets you. I know some people who take like the airborne stuff, like the boost your immune system before you get there, because you're high fiving on Fridays. You know, the bottom flu is a real thing. That dust will go all in your sinuses and stuff, and it starts to decrease your immune system a little bit. Get some sun before you get there. Do not show up looking like me right now. Like, go sit out on the beach for a minute and get a little bit of a base tan. And just prepare for it. I mean, don't try to do it all on Thursday and Friday night. Like, I see way too many people burn out, and then Saturday, Sunday comes along and they're at camp most of the time. You don't want to ruin your experience like that. You know, it's the happiest place on earth. I know Disney World is, but no. Waterloo's the happiest place on earth. Like, you gotta be
Disney's
there
a nightmare. I've never been, but I hear
there's kids there. Brian's not going. talk about that, Russ. Russ is the king of don't go hard. Don't go hard on
But yet he still does it all the time.
That's why I'm pointing at him. Talk to him, Russ.
Don't do it. Don't go hard. But, you know, I'm going to go hard anyways. So you're going to be there whether you're going hard or not. So just have a good time.
Yeah. I mean, that's no joke. I mean, Christian, especially, I mean, you're the one with the longest drive. 8 hours, you're excited, you can't wait to get there. You're naturally going to want to get out of the car and just, you know, pop a beer, whatever, and go hard that first day. And you got to think about Sunday night.
Especially this year. Yeah. Especially
this year. Yeah. It's a long, long slog, right? I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, Christian, how's your? With an 8 hour drive there, you pretty excited, but at what point does the dread hit in? It's 8 hours back.
Yeah, that's always the worst part. We typically come down the weekend before, like get a cabin. I come with a pretty large group. We all pitch in, share a cabin the weekend before, so it's only like an hour ish on that last day. But waking up Monday morning, 8 a.m., packing up, hitting the road, 8 hours. It really takes the
Sounds
toll.
Sounds like you got a pretty good plan, though. I'll give you that.
I got 17 hours.
Who's
so
the one who says, dial it back? It's only Tuesday.
we have a couple people who are the mom and dad. It's nice.
Yeah. All right. So Where in the Woods? That's a new thing, and that's for people who don't know is Bonnaroo. What we've been talking about is the other, which they converted to basically an EDM stage inside of Centaroo. But in recent years, they've put a lot of effort into curating events out in the general camping area. And Where in the Woods has become kind of its own thing. So who wants to describe that to people? Who can tell people what that's about?
Where in the Woods, that used to just be woods. You know, I remember back, like, watching people drag their hammocks in there back years ago to, like, escape the heat. And, you know, now all of a sudden it's got all this cool stuff to do, like, little NASA, like, you talk to the astronauts and stuff. Like, one year, was it last year, I think, or something like that. That was cool to get to watch. It's beautiful. It's very Electric Forest vibey. You know, they got all the lights festival up and the trees and lights and all that. Exactly. When I saw the lineup come out for it, like, that could be its own festival. They could sell a separate ticket just for Where in the Woods, and I would still go. I'd buy two tickets.
I mean, they're really killing us. They're killing us this year with Chasing Status on Wednesday, and then, you know, Freddie Gibbons. It's going to be.
Yes.
So, Tyrone, speak to that then, as far as you say the festival within a festival. I have been through the Where in the Woods.
Yeah.
On a golf cart before the festival started. Okay. So, like, I know what it looks like in that kind of like, hey, look at this. This is what this is going to be. But I've never actually walked into it when things are going on. Is it does it ever sleep? Does it ever slow down? And is there a difficulty with capacity within? I mean, there's no walls, but the trees almost act that way, and you can kind of barricade.
Yeah, I mean, it gets pretty
packed.
How
does that work at function?
Especially in the late hours. I don't really see a big problem with it. I think I've seen more stages packed. So it's pretty wide. It's pretty spread out. And
so it's a comfortable place to be at most times, maybe.
There's pockets where you could be comfortable. It can get pretty crowded. And it definitely doesn't slow down at all. Nice. Like, I remember we saw Zed's Dead in there after Zed's Dead at the other, and then we left to go back to camp to sleep, and you could still hear Zed's Dead just throwing down until the sun came up, basically. So it's a wild time.
I think I have heard, I know Daniel and Charlotte have sort of talked about it on the Real Rue bus that they need to add more water stations there, and maybe even some bathrooms.
I can see that for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, just for
and some bathrooms. Yeah, by like four in the morning,
it can
you
become,
see people lining up and peeing, you know, on the fence or along the trees. Yeah. You know,
it can become its own event where you just hang out there all day, right? I mean,
for sure.
So,
especially for Wednesday too, when that's the only thing that's really going on, and with a pull like Chase's Status this year, like, it's going to be just as packed as it was last Wednesday, if not more. Like, I remember last year's Wednesday, it was so crowded in there. It was hard to find a little breathing room. But the stage design is always great. The sound is always great. And, you know, the environment in there is just like, it's Bonnaroo, but it's Bonnaroo adjacent. Like, it's something fresh and something new. And it's a great place to be till sunrise.
Yeah, I've never been to the Electric Forest, but I've certainly seen enough of it to understand what it looks like, and in my head that does seem what it feels like, and it does kind of to me feel like this mystical place, right? This a part of my, I mean, I've walked every inch of that farm, whether, you know, it was in October or in June. And so I actually, like, Lewis and Clark style, know the lay of the land, but I've never actually been in there. So it's almost this mystical, like, fantasy land, that fascinates me more every time I see it. And it was unused space. Bonnaroo's done a good job of realizing, hey, we're wasting space. We lost some of the greatest camping area in the world because they realized, why the hell are we giving it to you guys?
Yeah, we talked about it too much.
Yeah, so it looks like a fabulous place. And with Pretty Lights being on Thursday now, that headline set, I mean, we've officially turned this thing into a 5-day festival. I mean, Thursday's been there for 15 years, but it was just kind of a jumpstart day. It really feels like, and that feel like to me gives it bang for its buck with what you're talking about. Christian, I think you were talking about Wednesday being a huge Where in the Woods day. I mean, if anybody just wants to speak any more to that, go ahead, or we can move along. Just really is impressive. It looks cool to me.
Yeah. And just sort of to add on to that, and it sort of goes back to the whole prep and to Kyle's point about start hiking now, it's a 700-acre farm. Some of you guys that have never been, you're starting to look at the lineup thinking, I'm going to go to this and then that and then this and then that. It's not like a quick turnaround, you know. It's a long walk from Where in the Woods to the What stage to maybe wherever your camping is. So there's a lot to think about, and this idea that you're going to see everything that's on your list, it isn't going to happen. Trust me.
Yeah, no.
Especially
that was going to be my
Tuesday.
That was going to be my tip. Just don't be afraid to sacrifice a performance that you thought you really wanted to see. You know, if you're super hungover or tired at 3 p.m. in the morning, in the afternoon, it's okay to chill back at camp, you know, take it easy until 6 o'clock, you know, or, you know, like you said, you don't want to be walking all around the farm.
Mm-mm. That is something we've all had to learn. Every single one of us, no matter what age it is, you get there and you've got to learn. I got to start Xing some of these off, man. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. And that's okay. It's okay. This thing's not, this, okay. You're not supposed to be able to see everything. You know, that, I mean, that's not how this is set up. Right. So that's
and in some ways it's almost, you got to kind of blame the organizers. I mean, the Where in the Woods is, as we're saying, has become its own thing. You know, do you want to just hang out there because it's a great vibe, or do you want to try to make the, you know, half mile walk or mile walk to see this other artist? And so, you know, they're even struggling. I know from talking with some of the organizers, you know, have we hurt ourselves by creating this outer Rue experience where people aren't going into center Rue? You know what I mean? We paid all this money for a headliner, and people are hanging out and we're in the woods, which is a great problem. It's not a complaint. It's just something.
Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from on that, Barry, right. But I think if it increases the ticket sales of the number they want, you can hang out in your backseat of your car the whole weekend.
Do whatever you want.
For all they care. So I think it's a good
formula. And
Brian
has.
Yeah, I have done that. I listened to the Shins more in my car than I did when they were on stage.
All right.
While we're talking about Where in the Woods, I did want to say one more thing. They need to album on the exit. There's only, as far as I know, there's one way in, one way out. The main little entrance there. And then late at night, and you're sitting there, you're doing the shuffle behind people. And, you know, I've got a big seat. I'm kicking people. And, you know, people are on whatever they're all on at the time. It gets a little hairy trying to get out of there. Then all of a sudden you're out. And there's the little buggies going back and forth. You're trying to get hit. You're like, oh, man. Like, what? We just left the woods. There was people. And all of a sudden it's crazy. So, Barbary guys, we need one more little tight exit off the side or something, so we just split that traffic. But other than that, it's beautiful. They just
that's not shocking to hear, especially with the evolution of it. And I'm sure they're looking at it. But there's been things, if this goes back forever, Barry and Taco, I don't know, they might have had it fixed by the time you got there, Taco. But the from crossing over from what to which, when you had the drainage issue, and now they have the big bridge, and it's like of course this has been here the whole time, surely. No, for about 12-13 years that wasn't there, and you had to swim across the damn channel to get it through the sludge to get there.
It was terrible.
So, you know, they know that there's issues, and then we've had the entrance issues the years that there was a capacity issue, but that, I could see how that could be a thing.
How much, Kyle, I'll start with you, how much purely EDM music will you see this year, percentage wise?
I'd say it's about 50-50. I mean, you've still got acts like Krogben showing up. Well, I've been excited. If I said it wrong, Krogben fans, I'm sorry. It's like, you know, but I'll skip whoever to see that.
Christian.
I mean, I'll skip Harmony, whoever. Doesn't matter.
How much percentage wise?
I think mine will probably be 50-50 as well. There's a lot of great bands this year, a lot of great, singers, and, but they have some really nice undercards, like Hamdi for sure, Lonnie for sure, ISO, Dr. Fresh is like all the way at my top. It'll probably be a 50-50 split. Maybe even, you know, leaning a little bit more because I'll be out till X in the morning at We're in the Woods. So we'll see how it goes.
How about you, Tyrone?
Same, 50-50. Like Kyle said, like, I'm really excited for Krogben, or however you pronounce it. I've been wanting to see them since 2020, you know, before our hearts were broken. But
they're great.
Yep.
How about you, Matthew?
Yeah, sound like broken record again. Pretty much the same. There's going to be certain days, once again, where it's going to be a lot heavier, like especially if I come up on that Wednesday. Well, harshly, because that's all that's going to be. And that'll definitely influence the percentage. But there's going to be other days, like last year, pretty sure Sunday I didn't see any dance music. So I'm sure there'll be days like that as well again.
Well, let me real quick just piggyback right off that and go right back right around the panel again. A couple of bands furthest away from EDM that you guys are excited about seeing on this festival, 2, 3, 4, however many you want to announce. Christian, we'll start with you. Just other things that jump off the page that you're like excited about that are nowhere near the EDM orbit.
Yeah, Gary Clark Jr. is going to be
incredible. Look at that, this rock and roller over here.
Yeah, you gotta see him. I'm excited for Dominic Fike. I'm excited for Cage the Elephant, Parcels. Brittany Howard's gonna be incredible. And then the little Ash Nico, Joey Badass, those are all.
So, see, he's not a weirdo. He's not weird. He still likes great music. Kyle, go ahead. Just band, other band.
Thundercat. I mean,
Thundercat.
Yeah. Thundercat, T-Pain. I'm gonna go to the list here. Ladu Mokhtar, it's gonna be super mm-hmm. cool. Chili Peppers is a classic. I've seen them a couple times at Modern already. Bad, Not Good. So many here. Joey Badass would be awesome to see. Irreversible Establishments. Like I like stuff you can still groove to, you know? Like, so if it's got that bass line in it, even if it's a jam band or whatever, like, I'm there. Yeah. So,
Maddie.
Going off jam bands, Green Sky Bluegrass, Eggy. I'm a big hip hop fan too, so excited for Post and Joey Badass, like you said. I saw Megan Thee Stallion at Okeechobee 2 years ago, and honestly, one of the most fun I've had at a random set. So would be super excited to see her again, especially if she's going right into or right before Fred again. I think that would just be a massive energy pop for two sets in a row on Sunday.
Green Sky Bluegrass sounds like where everybody would take a nap that day after the night at Wild in the Woods, or Where in the Woods, excuse me. And I'm a Green Sky Bluegrass fan. Tyrone, what about you, man?
Definitely J-Rad, Krungabin, I would say T-Pain, Thundercat. I'm a huge Mac Miller fan, so I'm hoping I get some Mac with the Thundercat. What's his name? Bakar. Bakar is like this UK like hip hop kind of guy, and I'm really excited for him. And Goth Babe and
J-Rad, Milky Chance. Shoot me a text. Chance. I'll come meet you over there for some Jay Russo or Joe Russo.
Oh hell yeah, let's do it
all day.
So
let's do it
again. You know, to brag on Brian and Steven, the guys who booked this festival, they do a really good job of curating the lanes, don't they? I mean, it's not just, you know, you got the headliner, but what are you going to do the rest of the days? And that's what I'm hearing from you guys, is there's plenty of different things to go see all day, every day, right? I mean, that's what makes, to me, that's what makes this festival music-wise so good, is they do a good job of trying to figure out the lanes.
I think they also do a good job of pacing you. You know, like a lot of the house stuff is usually in the afternoon. They're not going to put Sudden Death, you know, in the middle at 4:30 in the afternoon. Like, that's going to be crazy. It'll kill you.
Right.
So they did a good job of, like, people, you know, like making sure you don't burn out there in the middle of the day.
Right.
And it's cool to see them, like, actually put that thought into it every year.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. All right. What else?
One thing I wanted to, I made a note here that I wanted to go back to was, I know that this has been talked about. We might have even mentioned on the show. I can't remember, but I know I've seen it on threads here and there. And it was mentioned earlier, the special guest, performance, I know Skrillex, something's Bob, whatever. Where is this going? Where is this, these threads taking? Where are people speculating on? Are we talking a real expectation of an artist that's going to be like, whoa, or just a little something? What do y'all think? What are y'all singing? What are you thinking?
I hope it is. I'm surprised that they dropped Chase and Status on Wednesday. That's such a huge get for such a rising star right now. Like, he's everywhere he can be, and they just performed at like the British Music Awards, like the biggest televised UK thing there. Like, it's becoming more and more mainstream, and if they drop him, I'm curious who they're holding out on for Sunday. I would love like a Fred again back-to-back fortet. That's my dream. But
I think that's what it's going to be. I feel like if it was going to be someone else not on the lineup. Like,
expand on what Skrillex, that is. Tyrone, expand on that a little bit. Say it again. Hoping it's going to be who?
I think it's going to be fortet and Fred again. I was going to say, like, all these people are saying, oh, it's going to be Skrillex. But, I mean,
I think they would announce that. Right, just now. My thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I really don't see them pulling out anybody crazy without announcing them on the lineup that isn't already on the lineup. But, I mean, I think people are going to be really happy if it is Fred again and fortet. I was thinking maybe it also could be a ISO XO back to back knock two, but I'm pretty sure one of them has another festival booking on Sunday, so I'm not sure if that would align. But
I just didn't know if the expectations could grow so much that the letdown just annoys people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true with everything. I never like that, really. This whole, don't you know later? Like, okay.
I was getting ready to say, Brian, you and I have been around long enough and done enough. You've been on radio or things like that. It doesn't usually end.
It almost never. Huge announcement. Okay, yeah, buddy.
Surprise guest.
Sure thing.
Yeah, it's and, the Beatles. And, it's Beyonce. No, it's not. It's somebody's dad.
And last year, Sunday, you know, brother-in-law was canceled with the rain anyway, so.
All right, guys, thank you so much for your time. I'll ask each of the four of you, is there something that you wanted to make sure, I'm sure as you were, you know, getting ready, don't let me forget to say whatever. Is there anything we didn't ask you about that you want to make sure you said?
I would just say, as far as base for Where in the Woods, I would definitely check out Kill Safari. That's Bro Safari. He was a big trap guy back in, like, early 2010s, back-to-back Kill the Noise, which is going to be insane. And Alley Cat, she's a rising bass producer. She's kind of like an Ella's Dream kind of vibe. And yeah, I would check out those two artists if you can at Where in the Woods.
And the Daily Frequency, right? The Daily Frequency is your...
Yep, yeah, the Daily Frequency out, website at Instagram, the Daily Frequency, Twitter, Daily Frequency, yep.
Well, thank you guys for being part of this put together panel. As we've said, Russ and Brian and I, this is not our music, not our jam, but we understand it's important to this festival and to fans. And so we wanted to talk to you know, people who know what they're talking about. So we don't sound too much like the old guys telling kids to get off their lawn type of thing. All right, so there you go. What do you think? Are we done with EDM for a little while? Can we talk about some other stuff? Or
I'm good with that. I've learned a lot, you know, the last three shows we've done from this. It wasn't for naught, you know. Yeah. I don't know that I like it more or less, but I'm now interested in this Fisher. I don't know if the hell Fisher was.
We've come away with a handful of names, recommendations to check out, some stuff.
Disco Lines is mm-hmm. how it sounds to me. This is kind of what we learned portion. It sounds to me like house EDM. That's me. That's what it sounds like to me. That's what's going to grab my attention the most, because from what I can tell, it grabs from the bigger generalized pot.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I guess that might be what Pretty Lights is. Apparently he transcends so much now. He's such a star. I mean, Pretty Lights is just a monster. So it's probably a bad example to try to bring up when you're talking. It's like, hey, let's talk about rock and roll. What do you think about Stones? Yeah. Like probably not the best one to start with, but it does sound like house music. House EDM is my jam, if I were to guess.
Yeah. That and we're probably gonna have to wander out into Where in the Woods.
Yeah, I think it's doing a disservice to ourselves to not have at least a walkthrough.
I've been out and seen a little of what's going on, and it's cool.
Yeah, I've seen the Mr. T head, you know, I know, but it was on the ground getting ready to be put up for the next day. Like,
yeah. All right, so we are going to pick a winner in the next, and we will announce and hopefully have on as a guest the winner of our ticket giveaway. Next week is Easter. I don't know that we're going to do a show on Easter. What do you guys probably take that off?
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll figure out something, mm-hmm. but we definitely got a winter coming soon, so don't go too far away because somebody's going to Bonnaroo. We're gonna
pick a winner, two passes with camping.
Yeah, we'll thank you that. To everybody who's joined in on that. That's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot
lots
of good
and lots
good stuff.
Of people. Yeah, I mean, there's still time if you want to.
Yeah, it ain't over yet.
Right? 423-667-7877, right? Call in and tell us, make your recommendations on who to listen, who we should check out on this year's Bonnaroo lineup. We're not asking for who should be on the lineup. We want to know who is on the lineup. Listen, that we should check
you
out.
You want to crank call us, go right ahead. You know, what? That's sometimes the stuff that makes the show. So, hey, have fun with it, right? Have fun.
Make us laugh. Or piss us off, one or the other. All right. Thanks, Consequence. Thanks for everybody listening. Like, share, do all that stuff. Anything else, guys? Any other news?
Think that covers it for now.
Just, you know, we got other episodes in the works. I don't know if you want to tease anything that we've got planned or maybe planned.
Yeah, the founder of So Brews coming up here in the next couple of ish weeks. That's still being the exact dates being nailed down. But that'll be an April show. Looking forward to if you've been to any amount of festivals or rock concerts. Well, from my vantage point, rock concerts, but probably more than just that. Soberu is usually there promoting sober festival and concert attendance. And so that's, we'll get into all that soon enough anyway.
Yeah, you can speak to that especially, but apparently you can go to a festival sober.
Who knew?
What a concept.
Who knew this? Yeah. It took me 22 years to figure that out.
And you're not alone, and I'm proud of you.
No.
We noticed that last year.
It's fun to laugh and joke at, and it's also super serious. That's what makes it a fun – for. It's an important, interesting conversation to have. I mean,
fun. Yeah, I don't mean to make light of it.
Fun might be the wrong word, but it is – I enjoy talking about it. We'll put it that way because it's an eye opening thing. And they've been doing this for about the length of the entire festival. Not quite, but pretty close. And so we'll be doing that here in the next few weeks.
And more and more every year, there's more people doing
it. You and I noticed, right, Russ? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do we have people walk up, not just in our camp, but people walk up and say, I can't believe all the people that I'm running into that are talking about doing this festival sober. So
yep,
that's going to be an interesting show. I look forward to that, and we're trying to line up some guests. We need to start having some musical guests, some bands that are on the lineup, so we'll be doing that as well. But good show. This was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
All right, see you guys.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.